You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
What we want.
You're listening to On the Couch, On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
And welcome everyone, as you always are at this time on LA Talk Radio. To On the Couch with Dr. Michelle. That's me. Nice to have you as always. This time, 11 o'clock in the morning, Pacific Standard Time. And I've got a great guest today. Also taking your calls, as usual, from listeners at 323-203-0815. That's a Los Angeles area code. Of course, you can email me if you'd like, as many of my listeners do, at my LA Talk Radio email address, docmichelle@aol.com. That's docmichelle@aol.com. I have two L's in my name, by the way, as many of us do. So you can call me, you can email me, and of course, as always, you can listen to my special guest today. I'm going to have Dr. Jillian Holloway. You may have heard her before. I've had her on a couple of times. And I want to ask you something. Is there an afterlife? Do you believe that there's such thing as a soul? Although death is an ending of life on this planet, do you view it as the final end? Now, many people, many religions, believe that the soul transits to another place or dimension where it lives on. You know, what happens after death to the soul has been discussed and debated since communication was born. We all want to think that we're in some way going to live on in some other kind of existence. And it's only natural that we grieve for the loss of the human companionship and interactions we shared with our friends and family, of course, while they were still living with us in physical form. Really difficult. You know, as a psychologist, I talk about the stages of grieving that we all go through. We want more. We can no longer reach out and touch them or pick up the phone to talk to them. It's kind of a downer subject. I don't mean to depress you. But this is about possible communication and belief in the afterlife today. I do get a lot of emails from listeners, usually about relationships. We talk about, problems, self-esteem, personal issues, things like that. And many times I get emails from listeners that say, Dr. Michelle, I've had a really strange dream. Can you help me translate what this means? I do translate dreams sometimes. I help people out with possibilities based on my dream research and my experiences with clients. But I don't really do a lot with communication of those who've passed on in dreams, you know? So finding out the meaning of dreams and going further to interpret why their dead relatives or loved ones come to them in dreams and what that means, that's really a toughie. I mean, sometimes we can say we're grieving. That's it. We have to work out things with them. That's it. But many of us believe that there's something else because of the profound experiences we have and the feeling we have after the dream that we're so much closer to that person who's passed on. Or we have an odd, as I call it, the residue of the dream for several days because it was painful. They said something to us that hurt us. Or those who passed on said something to us that was inspirational or a special message that we wanted to hear. So in order to help a lot of my listeners, and I do have emails, and I do encourage you to email me here on the computer while we are live on the air at docmichelle@aol.com. So you can ask questions to my guest, Dr. Jillian Holloway. this way, she can help you. She's one of the leading dream researchers. She's, of course, an author of 4 books. And Dr. Jillian Holloway, she's been a past guest on the show, like I said. She's talking about all of her dream research. The Complete Dream Book, that's a biggie. That's like the Encyclopedia of Dreams. Also, the Complete Dream Book of Love and Relationships. You know, a lot of listeners were really interested why they're dreaming about past loves or what does this mean and how to translate these love dreams. And Dr. Holloway helped them out on my show. And this time, we're talking about people who've passed on. Let me ask you some questions here. Right before we get on to Dr. Holloway. Do you believe it in spirit energies? Well, we've all heard about or seen, you know, the most popular reality series on TV is called Ghost Hunters. I love to watch that show. Are those guys real? I don't know. We've got some, you know, audio recordings of voices. That's kind of scary. Yeah, we've seen those shadows. Yeah, we've seen those colors change. You know, on that camera, those spirits walking by. Well, the producers of that show claim that over 150 million Americans believe in life after death. Or in ghosts. And we've also read and heard about, or what are called near-death experiences, NDEs. You know about those? That's where people have shared events that have taken place after they were declared dead by doctors. You know, or folks who've been on operating tables and had to be revived, who were clinically dead. And then miraculously they come back to life. And then they tell about these near-death experiences that they've had. I encourage you to email me if you have any questions about this or your dreams, because Dr. Holloway is here to help you today just a little bit. And you can call me as well, 323-203-0815. Now, talking about near-death experiences and the possibility of life after death, they say that one of the most compelling examples of a person who had an NDE and observed events while outside of his body, which were verified by others, is the guy named Al Sullivan. Have you heard about that guy? He was like 55-year-old truck driver, and he was undergoing triple bypass surgery. He briefly passed away. They had to revive him several times because he was clinically dead. And in this lengthy period, several seconds, he had a powerful near-death experiences. And he describes an encounter with his deceased mother and brother-in-law. And they told Al, the truck driver who passed away on the operating table, to go back. Come on, you're not ready yet. Come on, go back to that table. You're not ready to join us. And also, by the way, one of the deceased that he communicated with said, by the way, you know your neighbor? You know your neighbor, Bob? Tell Bob that their son who has lymphoma is going to be okay. He's going to survive. He's going to take those treatments, and he's going to survive that cancer. He's not ready yet either. Yep, it's all documented here. Furthermore, during that near-death experience, Al, the truck driver who died on the operating table, accurately noticed that the surgeon operating on him when he was out of his body in another plane of existence, and I'm telling you this, he was flapping his arms in an unusual fashion with his hands in his armpits. What? What the hell? What is that about? Well, when Al came back to his body after the surgery was over, Al described what he was doing. He said, you know, when I was out of my body and talking to my dead relatives, I also noticed that you were doing this weird arm flapping. I was standing over you, and you had your arms flapping, and you had your arms in your armpits. What are you doing? The doctor was blown away. The surgeon said, oh my God, you saw me do that from over my head? The doctor does this method of keeping his hands sterile. This is how he keeps his hands sterile. And this was really unique to this doctor's style of doing this. So it's amazing You know, how we may believe that other people go into another dimension actually after they are declared passed away and communicate with those who've passed on and then come back to tell about it. Now, many people say that dreaming does the same thing. Many people say that when we dream and we have those experiences of, you know, being with those who passed on and telling us really important things, that that's what it's about. They are trying to communicate some meaningful information to us. They have messages for us. Have you ever had a dream like that? Have you ever experienced like out-of-death or near-death experiences? Out-of-body experiences, as they call them? I'd love to hear from you. 323-203-0815. And again, usually I talk about relationship issues. Well, this is about relationship issues. Many people would say that, you know, when we have dreams about those who have passed away, we have unresolved relationship issues with those people. And somehow in our, you know, mind, subconscious, we try to work out those issues in some way. And those are a lot of the practical, old school dream researchers. And I believe in that. We do have that. But is it something else? Is it that in this state of mind, in the REM stage or whatever they believe the, you know, brain wave activity to be, is this a frequency where people can contact us in a dream state? Is this a special frequency? And are these real experiences? I really encourage you to email me at docmichelle@aol.com if you've had any of these experiences, or call me at 323-203-0815 if you'd like to talk about, you know, some of these experiences you've had. Because they are profound. And they do last a long time. Very meaningful to us. And a lot of times we can get information from those who have passed on. I was having a dream about a week ago. Very, very emotional. We were in a boat, the whole family, small little boat going along a river. And my dad, who'd passed away, was at the front of the boat. He was sitting there, and I walked up to him. And he said, "It's been a great journey." I mean, how perfect is that? This has been a great journey. But I've had to overcome a lot of family problems. In so many words, this was the flavor of what he was telling me in the dream. And I don't want you to have to experience some of those problems. So I want you to stand up here at the front of the boat with me, and I want you to take more charge of your feelings and not get involved in a lot of these other family issues. Now, as a psychologist, I could say, of course I know that. But coming from my dad, who's passed on, giving me that advice, took on a whole new meaning. That to me was, he was communicating with me and giving me more advice. Really affirming more of what I believe, saying, you need to take charge. Or was that just me and my subconscious? Knowing what I know, being a psychologist, was that what it was about? I prefer to think the other. I prefer to think that that was my dad contacting me. Speaking about contact, let's talk to our special guest today, Dr. Jillian Holloway. She's on the line. Good morning, Jillian. How are you?
Hi, I'm just fine.
Great to have you on. And, you know, I was just discussing past life experiences that people had reported to me and many dreams from listeners who write me and call in. And I thought, you know what? We've got to get Jillian on because she's the expert. Welcome to the show here.
Oh, thank you so much. It's great to speak with you again.
It's great to have you. And of course, I've talked to my listeners earlier and told them about the four books you've written. And of course, you've been here as a specialist writing about what do certain relationships mean in dreams and basically the meaning of dreams. And you are a serious researcher. You know, that's what I really appreciate about your books. They're reader-friendly, but they're also based on a lot of serious research. So nice to have you here.
Yeah, Yeah, thank you. Well, I love dreams, as I'm sure anyone in psychology does.
Right.
And when I was a student, I just got so sick of books that were, about the ancient Greeks.
Right.
I wanted to know about what I dreamt last night, being stuck in an elevator.
There you go.
I just couldn't. I figured the rest of the world probably has the same problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Jillian, last time you were on the show, you briefly talked about your research, and you were saying, you know what, I'm getting a lot of information about death communication dreams, and you were saying the research has really heated up. And
it has.
Yeah.
It has. This used to be something that was very rare. I mean, I've been doing this for over 20 years in a solid way. And it was very rare when someone would say, I dreamt sort of tentatively. I dreamt about my mom, and she passed away several years ago, and
right.
I wonder what you think. Now, at least 10% of the dreams that I get are about the dead.
Wow.
That's
amazing.
This is a radical, radical change.
Yeah.
And, of course, I don't know if it's cultural, if we have the permission now to talk about it, or if these dreams are on the increase. And my suspicion is it's both.
Yes, exactly. Well, with all the shows coming on, the Ghost Hunters and the near-death experience books we can read about, and all the, coast-to-coast programs, which you've been on, by the way. There's so much literature and research and, past life regression on the afterlife, and especially now it's okay, and maybe with this allowance, the emergence of dreams allowing those who've passed on are coming to us.
Yes, and I am delighted because I'm a believer that we do survive death and that we are telepathic even while we're here, and that while we don't want to get stupid about it, it's a great idea to be open-minded, particularly some of the stories that I'm hearing are so convincing.
Right.
People get messages relayed, or one guy told me that he had a dream that his mother passed on after she passed on, and she said, look, I want you to get a message to your brother, Craig. I can't get through to him.
Wow. Okay.
And they had a family meeting, and it turned out that every sibling in the family, there were like five of them, had that visit from the mom who said, I just can't get through to Craig. And Craig said, well, I didn't have a dream about mom.
Right.
And I mean, this is subjective, but it is compelling.
It sure is. So what really prompted you to research this was because of all the reports you were getting on your dream research? I mean, you were just saying, whoa, this is amazing.
It was because of the reports, and it was also because of an experience that I had with a student who committed suicide.
Oh, my goodness.
And shortly after that, he had been best friends with a blind girl, and he had been her sort of guide. He taxied her and drove her everywhere, and they had one of those platonic friendships that was unbelievable. Well, when he took his own life, she was devastated and left in the lurch. Well, I had a dream, and he asked me in the dream, you've got to get to her and tell her that I'm okay. I'm not burning in hell. I wish I hadn't done it, and it was a mistake, but I'm okay.
Yes.
And I thought, okay, there's no way I can do this. But I promised him I would in the dream, and I woke up and struggled for a couple of days. Well, anyway, I made an appointment with her. We had lunch, and I thought, okay, she's going to hate this, but I told her, and she burst out laughing and said, look, I've had the same message from at least four other of his chums saying, get the message to me, and he couldn't get through to her for one reason or another. So, the friends, these are all college kids.
Right,
these are not great believers.
Right, right. So you have a lot of...
So for me, that was a compelling experience.
That is. So you've had a lot of input from people who are reporting, it's just more than, my dad came into the dream as I was describing a little earlier and then went out. These are really compelling things that are documented by groups of people who are having very similar experiences.
Very similar.
Wow.
And the other compelling bit of evidence is like the announcement dream, where someone has a dream that their uncle died that night. And the uncle says, look, I want you to know I'm going and I won't see you for a while, but everything's okay. And take care of your mother.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the morning,
right,
that person gets a phone call saying, your uncle died.
Right, right.
Well, now, the argument that this is all fabrication, that we're trying to make ourselves feel better, you know, that it's wishful thinking. None of that applies to those announcement experiences, and those comprise a good 5% of the reports that I get. So,
my goodness. Now, is that because, you know, they're telepathic in their dreams? Is that what you're saying?
I believe that, well, there's a great deal of evidence, mm-hmm. as you know, both experimental and anecdotal, that
right.
we are more telepathic in the dream state and in the sleep-related states,
right.
the hypnagogic
right.
sleep and the
right.
hypnopompic sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not clear why that is the case, but it does appear to be that we are more telepathic when we're dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
But it also, I suspect, that some people have just a bigger, like, broadband capacity. It has nothing to do. I hear questions from people all the time saying, well, I loved my grandma desperately, but
yes.
I haven't heard from her. Why not?
Right, right, right.
And I know that some people who are, you know, psychics or mediums will say, well, you're blocking it, or you're not ready,
hmm.
or you don't believe.
Hmm.
And I think that's bunk.
What do you think?
I think there's just an idiosyncratic ability or capacity that some of us are wired to be more accessible from the other side.
That's interesting.
I hear from folks who
yeah.
get messages that say, you know, look, would you go across the street and tell your neighbor, you know, I can't get through to my wife. Would you tell her that I'm okay?
Yes.
And, of course, the poor neighbor barely knows the woman.
Right.
He's totally freaked out. So it has nothing to do with love, that much I know.
Really?
And it just must be that some people are more accessible and that from the other side, perhaps they can see our consciousness and they can see who's
mm-hmm.
got the best hookup, so
mm-hmm.
to speak,
mm-hmm.
for making this telepathic communication.
Right. That's fascinating. Some people have said that, you know, maybe in that REM state, you know, where we dream or, you know, where we're more, you know, accessible to our dreams, you know, maybe the brain frequency or something, that's a particular frequency that those in the whatever other dimension can kind of sort of tune into, you know?
Yes. Yes, Michelle, I think that's right. I think that's a big part of it. And there are so many cases as well of what we call interrupted dreams.
Right.
Where a person's having their dream and they're at a party and then suddenly the
yes.
deceased walks through the wall
right.
and the rest of the dream falls away. It's like we interrupt this regularly scheduled dream
right.
to bring
right.
you the following message.
Right.
And then there's a conversation that is so real, and the person is lucid, they realize they're dreaming, they realize that their dead husband is talking to them, and
yeah.
they have a conversation about, how can you possibly do this? Am I dreaming, or aren't you dead? And the answer is yes, it's real, yes, you're dreaming, and yes, I can do this sometimes. We can come into your dreams.
That's amazing. That is real. I mean, you know, it's sort of scary. A lot of people who write me, and I do get, you know, emails from folks who have questions, and I do have some emails that are coming in, and maybe we can share them with you, and you can answer some of their questions, because this seems to be a really interesting subject to a lot of people, because the dreams are such a huge part of sleeping, and dreaming is such a huge part of our lives that we want to work these things out and find out, and of course, validate, is there life after death? It just makes us feel better that we're somehow in touch with our relatives.
Well, absolutely, and these types of experiences are so real.
Yes.
That is the word that people use to
yes.
describe. They say, this is more real than my waking life.
Mm-hmm.
It just had a different quality than dreaming. And so I encourage people to, that's one of the hallmarks
yes.
of these experiences,
mm-hmm.
is that sense of reality, and you wake up and you feel that you've been with someone.
Mm-hmm.
So I encourage people to believe in their own subjective sense of what was real.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, if you'd like to call in today on the show on LA Talk Radio here, my special guest on the couch today is Dr. Jillian Holloway, and she's the author of 4 wonderful dream books, and she's really been fascinated with a lot of death communication dreams because she's getting a lot of information from people who contact her about, you know, I've had visitations in my dreams, very profound, and I've gotten a lot of meaning, and what does this mean? So Dr. Jillian is also working on a new book to do with this, and I'm sure this is going to be very successful for you, by the way. So if you'd like to call in, 323-203-0815, or of course you can email me live on LA Talk Radio here, and we can do a little chat online, and you can ask me your questions about your dreams. I do have a couple of them that I will share with you, Jillian. But
okay.
to continue on. What are some other stories that you could share with our listeners? Now, you're talking about dreams, and you're sort of putting them into categories. You know, you have,
that's right.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, because there, not every dream about a dead person. You know, we do have dreams when we're grieving and so forth. So I'm not implying that every time a dead person shows up in your dream that you're getting a communication.
Okay.
The quality that I mentioned, that it is so real, that's one of the characteristics. The person wakes up and feels like something about that was real.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we have a dream, we don't wake up with that feeling. We know it was a dream. But these visitation dreams, you wake up and you feel like someone's been in your room, or you feel like you really had a conversation.
Right.
Another characteristic is that people will wake up and say that they could smell, you know, grandpa's cigar smoke.
Right.
There is just some residue physically, often a smell or just a sensation, or they will have had an embrace. There'll be a hug or a hand-holding in the dream sequence, and there's like an infusion of love and reassurance that they wake up and they're drenched with a feeling of relief and reassurance. Well, that's pretty unusual to get from a dream sequence as well. Those are some of the hallmarks.
Yeah. I have an interesting dream that just came in, and if you can help one of our listeners out right now, this would be awesome. This is this is from Darlene, and she just emailed me at docmichelle@AOL.com, and she said, Dr. Holloway, can you please explain this for me? My mother-in-law, who passed away, leaned over to me while I was laying in bed. She slid her arms carefully under me and lifted me up. I felt her arms.
Mm-hmm.
I shouted, put me down, put me down. I don't want to go. She carefully lowered me onto the bed and disappeared. Am I feeling fear about being carried off by death? That's her question.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I think that is a very normal reaction, and that's part of, you know, these experiences have been shrouded in superstition and fear for so long that one of the theories is that if you dream of the dead, it means that they have come to take you away.
Right.
And, of course, that's not the case. In fact, if there's anything they can do, they'll try to, you know, talk us into staying and finishing our lifetime.
Is that what you find more often? Is many of the deceased, or the energy there is saying, stay, stay, don't go, just like described in some of those near-death experiences?
That's exactly right, mm-hmm. Michelle. Yeah, that is there. In fact, one of the vivid stories that I got was from a young man who was getting hooked on drugs and alcohol, mm-hmm. and he fell into a stupor on the ground.
Oh, boy.
And his father, who had died when he was 10, his father stood over him and said, you know, you are right on the threshold. Mm-hmm. If you don't clean up your act, you're going to be on my side. Mm-hmm. And I want you to, you know, promise me that you're going to straighten up. And he did. He promised his father. He remembered the dream. And it changed his life. Got
That's
him clean
amazing.
And sober, and he's now a happy, successful family man.
Wouldn't that be terrific if a lot of addicts, you know, people who have so-called, you know, hit bottom, you know, have had that experience? So that would really help somebody out. That would scare them into, oh, my gosh.
That's
you know,
right.
My relative came
straight. Yeah.
Right, exactly. That's what it is, Jillian.
So back to Darlene.
Yes.
It's not unusual. One of the myths is that if a dead person touches you, they can kind of suck you over to the other side.
Yeah.
What I'm finding is quite the reverse, that often there is an embrace, often they will hug you or touch you,
mm-hmm.
And that this is there's some kind of a communication that's going on and some kind of good wishes. This is not at all that they're trying to do anything to you or lure you to the other side.
Right.
You always have the right to say, you know, don't touch me or don't do anything. So Darlene was in her right mind about that. But I wouldn't be afraid that her mother-in-law was trying to, you know, take her away or do her any harm.
Right. Interesting. Very interesting. Thank you for that. And thank you so mm-hmm. much, Darlene, for emailing me on that. If you'd like to email me and ask Darlene or ask Dr. Holloway a question, that'd be terrific. Dr. Jillian Holloway, my special guest today, author of 4 dream books, and we're talking about communication from the dead in our dreams. And you can email me at docmichelle@AOL.com here on LA Talk Radio, or call in live if you have any questions, of course, for Dr. Holloway. It's 323-203-0815. I have another question here that came in, and this is from Kelly. And let's check it out right now. Okay. Dear Dr. Holloway, what if I have a recurring dream This is kind of cute. About an old man who lived down the street from me, and he's very scary and demonic. He comes into my dreams a lot, and I feel that his presence is trying to take me to hell. Oh, dear. What is he doing to me, and why is this happening? Is there evil in the spirits of afterlife?
Well, that's a heavy question.
That's a heavy one, Kelly.
You know, that might be another show.
Yeah.
But I do get these reports every now and then that people feel they're being haunted, and that, and sometimes they feel that someone is sort of hacking into their dreams. That's
right.
The new terminology.
That is.
And it sort of makes sense, and I can't say that that's totally impossible. But here's what I hear from a lot of dreamers, mm-hmm. is that they do have the right to change that. We have a sort of authority. It's almost like a mystic authority over our own dreams. So what we can do is to tell someone that they need to leave our dreams if you're having a dream like that. And you can say that before you go to sleep if you're not lucid in your dreams, and you can say it during the dream as well. We also have the power to sort of pray for or bless, depending on your belief system.
Okay.
Just bless that person.
Okay.
Because a lot of times when someone is coming in, even if they're coming in as a stalker of some kind, your blessing can change that.
Mm.
And a lot of times that's what people are showing up for. They don't know it, but they want some kind of nourishment from us.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to give them your soul or your life force or your time, but you can give them your blessing, and that has the power to change the situation. So that's what I'd suggest as a start for Kelly.
Oh, that's a great answer. Thank you so much for writing in, Kelly. And, you know, there is, you know, talking about, again, in that REM stage or the different brain wave, you know, there is a certain scientific information about the wave and the frequency and all that, and when we change our thoughts, of course we change the frequency of what's going on. So maybe there really is something to that. And I'm along with you, Jillian. I believe that, you know, when we bless someone or we let them go, or it's they're not going for that energy. They want the negative stuff, and they're going to go away because they're not getting through to us. You know.
That's right. It's like the people that like to scare you or criticize you when you're awake. There's a lot of talk about, you know, emotional vampires. And if they don't get the juice, if they don't get the shock, if they don't get the tears, they'll go away because that's what they're sort of feeding off of.
Exactly. So, you know, we talked a little bit earlier, and I see that there are more emails coming in, but I just wanted to ask you this, Jillian. You know, again, we talked about some people have these dreams and communicate with people from the other side, and some never do.
Mm-hmm.
So you were talking about some people are just more prone and more open to receiving this. Can people make it happen? How can people make these dreams happen if they're yearning for someone to come into their life and they miss someone?
Well, it's really tricky around that, because it's like anything, any of this subtle stuff, mm-hmm. meditation or anything, if you try too hard, you sort of jimmy up the works. So what seems to be effective for people is to talk to the deceased person as though they were in the room.
Hmm.
And just say, look, I don't want to put any pressure on you because I assume you're doing other things in heaven, but I'm open to hearing from you, and I'm not scared, and I'm not traumatized, and if you want to communicate, you're welcome.
Right.
But otherwise, you know, I bless you on your way.
And
sort of be open but neutral and accepting about that.
Right.
I had an experience this year where I had a dream about a woman that wanted me to talk to her children, and I didn't know the family that well.
Right.
And I didn't want to intrude on their grief, and I know that they're not believers, so I didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote down the dream, and I didn't talk.
Mm-hmm.
And I could feel her, at least I thought I could, sort of hovering around. And that's a first for me. But I said, look, if this is really you, I'm going to need some kind of a little sign here, because I'm going to go way out on a limb with this family. I had a dream two nights later in which she barged into my dream, talked to me again.
Yes.
It was a full-blown experience. So I said, okay, all bets are off. I'm going to call this family. And I did.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So evidently,
yes,
that was a communication from her, and evidently she heard me talking to her and saying, look, I need something more to go on here.
That is so interesting. Jillian, we have a live caller on the air, and we're going to take this caller, if it's okay with you, and see what's going on. Hi, you're on the air with Dr. Michelle and Dr. Jillian Holloway. Who's this?
This is Jason.
Hi, Jason. How are
Hi.
You?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good.
It's a great show. It's a fascinating subject.
Nice to have you with us.
Yeah.
What did you want to ask Dr. Holloway?
I've been listening to the show, and what I find interesting is my mom passed away, and mm-hmm. I have been meditating and going to spiritual healers and talking to people in regards to being able to access her, to have her come into my dreams. And I wake up in the middle of the night and I pray for her to appear to me, and she hasn't.
Okay.
And it's been a number of years, and I've kind of given up on the quest. But do you have any advice for me?
Well, yes. Sometimes not everyone can come through, Jason, and so it might not be you at all, or anything that you're doing or not doing. What seems to be the case, a lot of people will show up in dreams, and they'll have a buddy with them who has been on the other side longer, and it's mm-hmm. as if they can't quite work the communication matrix. It's not as easy as we think it is.
Mm.
And for some people, the mechanics of how it works is just very difficult, and some people are never able to get that communication going.
Mm-hmm.
So what you might do is ask for a sign, a more subtle sign, or a communication from somebody else who was a friend of hers that you know is on the other side. So mm-hmm. open it up a little bit, open up the potential for a conversation, because it may be that she just can't work the technical end of it.
Interesting.
That is interesting.
You know,
I've never tried that before.
You know, when
it's kind of like the movie Ghost, you know,
as Patrick
Swayze, he was trying to figure out how to move things. So that's fascinating.
Right. And he went through Whoopi Goldberg because she was open to communicating with him. So,
yeah,
yes.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Or like some of the other people, the authors, you know, we hear about who see the people who've passed on. And, you know, someone will want their mom to come through like you, Jason. They'll want their mom to come through and they'll go, you have an Uncle Bob that's standing behind me or something like that. You know, maybe
yeah.
they're more prone to that energy or coming in.
I mean, I've opened myself up to her energy. I think about her. I dream. Well, I haven't dreamed about her, but I try so hard. Well, maybe I shouldn't try so hard, but mm-hmm. I'd love to see her. And I always think to myself, oh, you know, I wonder if, you know, she'll come tonight or
mm-hmm.
you know, give me a sign, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's just fascinating. It
yeah.
really is.
Well,
yeah,
maybe,
well,
yeah. Do what Jillian said and, you know, maybe allow for whoever else might come to you and bring information to you about your mom.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's a great idea.
All right, Jason.
Well, I will do that. Thank you so much.
Thanks
I
so
love
much.
The show.
All right.
Thanks for calling. Have a good day now. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's, you know, that's very interesting.
Well, yeah, that's a great question.
Yeah.
And it is so baffling and heart-wrenching for people that, you know, are believers and mm-hmm. ready and willing and able. And I think it's just much more complicated from the other side than we realize. You know, the great talented mediums on TV and stuff make it look so easy.
Right, right.
And like everybody's just chatting away.
Yeah.
But what I'm gathering is that there are some subtle nuances to the mechanics of this.
Mm-hmm.
It takes an energy burst. It takes kind of a crossing a vibratory field and changing a vibration.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
then it takes the ability to make conversation with us.
Right.
I hear from a lot of people that sometimes when they have a dream about someone from the other side, all I get is a wave
yes.
of this person waving at them or a flash of their face.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually it may take a year or two before that person can come through and have a conversation with
mm-hmm.
you
mm-hmm.
because they have learned how to work the conversational elements that are involved.
Right,
it's really
right.
fascinating.
It really is. You know, some dream analysts say that most dreams where people, you know, who we know appear, who passed on, it's an attempt for us to deal with our feelings or our guilt or our anger in connection with this person who passed away. In other words, we, you know, we have a lot of unresolved issues. So how would you suggest that people distinguish between the grief dream, you know,
mm-hmm.
and one that might be more of a communication to give you some information?
Well, the grief dreams, as you know, are drenched in the soup of our trauma.
Mm.
So they tend to be negative. Mm-hmm. They tend to be scary. They tend to be the kind of dreams that break your heart over and over again, where,
right.
you know your child is going to have the accident, and you replay it, and you try to get to them in time, and you can't save
right.
them. There are those types of dreams where, obviously, it's like wringing out the dish rag full of tears.
Right.
Those repeat, and over time, they become less traumatic. So you're really dreaming about the loss.
Right.
That's
right.
the key to distinguish.
Mm-hmm.
When you're having a communication dream, the weight of the loss is lifted from you in the sequence, and there's just a conversation. It's just as if they have called you on the phone, or they used Skype to get to you, and
right.
there's nothing but a conversation. There's very little action. There's very little imagery. There's very little plot,
uh-huh, uh-huh.
And it's just a conversation.
I see. Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah, what are some of the biggest misconceptions about these dream visitations that you hear about, Jillian?
Well, as I mentioned, that they only happen to people who are believers, or
right.
that they only happen to people who are closest
right.
to the deceased, and that if you have a dream, it's a kind of marker that you're spiritual or that your love was
mm-hmm.
true.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a huge, huge fallacy.
Right.
So for those people, like Jason's a great example.
Yes.
It's not about love. It's about some kind of communication bandwidth that's already in place that is easily accessed, and
mm-hmm.
I think that's the secret. The other myth, as you explained, is
right.
something that our psychologist friends have given
right.
to us, that this is all just something that we're kidding ourselves and we're trying to make ourselves feel better. Grief dreams do not make you feel better. They often
right.
can make you feel worse
sure.
at first. And in a grief dream, there's a classic dream where it was all a mistake and Dad didn't die. He simply was recruited by the CIA to go on a secret mission, and he had to fake his own death. And the mind tries to explain
right.
what has happened and
exactly.
to make it so that it wasn't so.
Exactly.
And that's a classic grief dream. That is not a communication dream. So that's
right.
another sort of way that you can, if you see enough of these, they are like night and day. They're
right.
so different.
That's what the psychodynamics, so we would call the denial dreams.
Yes.
We want
yeah,
to deny
absolutely.
That this really happened. Exactly.
Yeah.
Dr. Holloway, we have another email here from a listener. Her name is Emily. And, okay, we can answer this for her. She wrote us, by the way, on docmichelle@aol.com. That's the email address here where you can contact me on LA Talk Radio, where we're talking to Dr. Jillian Holloway, the dream researcher today, about past life people coming into our dreams. She says, Dr. Holloway, I have a recurring dream that my grandmother calls me at my house while my mother, sister, and I are preparing dinner. I answer the phone, and she says, hi, it's me. I say, hi, Grandma. She asks, how are you? Then I want my mother to talk to her, and my mother says, and the grandma says, rather, no, I called you. When my mother comes to the phone, my grandmother hangs up. And my mother replies, stop saying it's Grandma. She's not there. Now, that's
Ooh.
Interesting. That's very interesting.
That is very interesting.
It's kind of like that denial we were talking about, possibly.
Yes,
yeah.
yes. So that has one of the markers of a visitation dream, which is
mm-hmm.
the phone call
right.
Device.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really difficult to tell from Emily's description whether to advise her that this is a visitation or a communication, or whether this is more of a family dynamic dream.
Mm.
Because it is so explicit, it recurs, and the elements sound like they're consistent, and it has to do with she and the other female family members in the kitchen.
Right.
I'm a little suspicious that there's a there's a feminine dynamic at
yes.
play here that
yes.
she's trying to resolve, and it
yes.
may relate to Grandma.
Right. Right.
And simultaneously, Grandma may be communicating with Emily,
mm-hmm.
very possibly. And she feels that, and that this is part of what distinguishes Emily from her mom, or
mm-hmm.
there's some kind
right.
of rift there where there's a communication where they're on different sides of the fence about something.
Right.
So there's a lot going on in this dream, and I wish I could
yeah.
really, you know, decipher it all and give you a cleaner answer. But a lot of it would depend on how Emily feels. If she wakes up and feels like grandma touched her or this was a communication, then trust yourself because you're the only one that has the strength of that validation.
Yep.
But I would also look at kind of a family dynamic question here.
And I agree with you. You know, it just seems like, you know, possibly if you kind of psychoanalyze it a little bit, maybe grandma and her daughter had some issues. And, you know, the granddaughter is sort of the go-between. And you know, the grandparents, the dynamic between the grandparents and the grandchildren, they say is usually a little bit better because, you know. So maybe that's what's going on here, like you said. That was great.
It could well be. And we do carry, you know, I agree with other cultures that say we carry the strengths and the potentials of our ancestors within us.
Yes.
And so some of our dreams are really about sorting through our own potentials and our own power, particularly
really
as women still.
I think so.
And that's why we want to sort of get the story straight and get the history straight so that we have access to our own powers inside.
It's really true. That's wonderful. That's a great way to put it. And it's kind of like the Jungian archetypes in a way. You know, we carry what our ancestors had and all those old things. So anyway, folks, if you'd like to give us a call live here on the air, we have several minutes left here on the couch with Dr. Michelle. That's me and my special guest today, Dr. Jillian Holloway, who is a really wonderful dream researcher, author of 4 books, which are fascinating. And we'll talk about those, of course, before we get off the air today. But you can call in live 323-203-0815 and share one of your dream experiences with Dr. Holloway if you'd like. Or if you'd like to email me here and ask a question to Dr. Holloway, as so many have already on their dreams, at docmichelle@aol.com. So I have another email here. Let me just quickly get to this and see what you have to say about that, all right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is from Preston. It's a cool name. My father passed away 9 years ago, but I often dream that he returns, especially at times of stress in my life. He looks older than he ever got to be in real life, and he's very wise-looking. I tell him problems I'm having, and sometimes he just listens, and I feel better. But usually he gives me advice, sometimes very clear, sometimes garbled. Just seeing him and hearing it from him makes me feel better. Is he really visiting me from the other side? Thank you. And that's from Preston.
Oh, what a great question.
Yeah.
My sense would be it's very likely, Preston, that he is visiting you,
mm-hmm.
particularly because these are such conversations where you feel, you wake up and you feel like that was a real conversation.
Right.
And you're empowered.
Exactly.
You feel different. Those of you, I mean, Michelle, the work that you do, you know how difficult it is to get a person to feel empowered
exactly.
and to be able to do what they want to do the
so
right
much.
Thing, as they say. That doesn't just happen overnight.
That's right.
Unless something profound happens.
Yep. Yep.
And
We just lost connection here. Let's see if we can get back to Dr. Holloway one sec. That's the problem of live radio sometimes. Let's see if we can get back to her. Are you there, Dr. Holloway? Oh, we just lost connection with her on the line here. Let's try it again. All right, we just lost contact with Dr. Holloway right in the middle of describing a dream that came in, and that was from a listener here. On the couch with Dr. Michelle. Hopefully we can get Dr. Holloway to call back in so we can finish up explaining what this dream is. It was from Preston who emailed my special guest Dr. Jillian Holloway and asked, you know, if his father was really trying to communicate with him. He passed away 9 years ago and wondered, you know, if his dad's messages really were, you know, the profound messages coming to help him in his life now. Hopefully we can have Dr. Holloway call us back, and I believe she's up there on the air again. Dr. Holloway, is that you?
Hi.
Thanks so much for calling us back. We just had a really missed communication here in the satellite, and it just dumped you out, and I apologize for that.
Well, that's all right. I guess I was worried it might have been something that I said.
No, it wasn't.
But anyway, I was just wrapping up about Preston's question, and that I hear these kinds of stories fairly often that someone is coming to encourage you. So I would believe in it. Preston, if you have that sense of validity, then go ahead and trust that these are real. And I think it's wonderful.
Oh, I do too. And thank you so much, Preston, for emailing us. We're just about out of time, but I want to really ask how people can participate in your dream research. I know you're doing a lot of that right now, and of course you've got your book coming out on communication with those who've passed on. How can they get in contact with you, Dr. Holloway?
Well, thank you so much, because sure. I the more of these stories I hear, the more I can do with them. I have a special email set up, and
great.
It is HollowayResearch@gmail.com.
Great.
It's HollowayOway
great.
At Gmail, HollowayResearch@gmail.com. So that's where I'm collecting all these stories, and please write to me, and I'll dialogue with you about your experience, and then we can talk about to what extent I can use your story in my research and maybe in my book.
Oh, that's terrific. Thank you so much, Dr. Holloway, for coming on the show. I wish we weren't out of time. This is one of my favorite subjects, and I really, I'm right on with you here on the belief system that they are communicating with us.
So. Oh, thank you so much. It's always a treat to talk with you, Michelle. Good luck with everything you're doing.
And you too. Thank you so much for calling in. Take good care now.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. That's, of course, author of four wonderful dream books, Dr. Jillian Holloway. The complete dream book is like an encyclopedia of dreams if you want more information on that. And, of course, she's working on the latest book, which will be out very soon. I'll give you more information. And, of course, you can find it right here on my website, Dr. Michelle Therapy. I will be giving you information about how to contact Dr. Holloway. Of course, you can find out more about that, too, right here on LA Talk Radio on the content of the show today, which you can download or play. And, of course, I'm available on iTunes. All the shows are over the past 3 years for free. Just Google There on the Couch with Dr. Michelle, and you're up. Thank you so much for being with me today. I appreciate it. Thanks for your calls. And as I always do say, do take care of yourself first. Then you'll be great for everybody else. Have a great day. Thanks for calling in. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.